Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think my last conversation with Dave Peacock was right before the pandemic, and it wasn't as much about his job as the CEO at Schnucks as it was about the Battlehawks. The season was about to begin. XFL was coming to town, and Schnucks had done a number of sponsorship deals, and so we talked about that, and I think a little bit at the time, too, with Dave having been so involved with trying to keep the Rams before the relocation to L.A. It was sort of a football backdrop. And then the Battlehawks begin, and it's popular, and it's about to really just kind of become a St. Louis thing. And yet I still don't know how much of it was trying to show the NFL or Kroenke that, hey, we're a great football town, and how much of it was just the novelty and the idea of going back to the Dome, especially football fans who were into it for 20 years, used to go down to games and tailgate and just kind of hang out. And I remember at the time talking to Kurt Hunziker, who was the president of the Battlehawks, and they did a great job with the product. But he said, you know, we'd sort of studied the market and had an idea what the demos would be, and he said we were a little off. It was really more of like a college party. It was a big party crowd. You know, it was kind of like the PGA on Sunday with Phil. It was kind of rowdy, Battlehawks game. So that's the last time we had talked to Dave, and there's a lot of different topics to get to, including the lawsuit that's coming up. He can't say a whole lot because, not surprisingly, Dave has been deposed. He'll probably be, I don't know if he'll be called or his testimony will be used, but certainly in the middle of that whole Rams move to L.A., Dave was involved in that. Also, his thoughts on what's happening with the MLS. Also spearheaded the first group trying to get Major League Soccer to town. And if you talk to people close to the Taylors or the current MLS group, St. Louis City Soccer, I think I think a lot of them will tell you that some of the work that got done laying the groundwork was the first MLS movement. Dave was part of that. But very civic-minded guy, and that includes a special event on Thursday that we were going to talk about anyway. And I said, let's get together. We'll go over a couple different topics about children's literacy in the Ferguson, the McClure School District. Nice event involving Malcolm Mitchell, former Patriots Super Bowl champion who's gotten involved in children's literacy. We'll get into that topic, as well as being the CEO of a major grocery chain when the pandemic hit. Just how chaotic was it? So Dave Peacock is the Kilcoin Conversation, the latest installment. As always, presented by Marie Davila Senior Living, located at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road. Premier senior living, including the Villa Estates, assisted living, beautiful 60-acre campus. Take a virtual tour at mariedavilla.com. That's M-A-R-I-D-E, Villa, mariedavilla.com. Triad Bank, which is the St. Louis-based bank since 2005. You can get online and check them out at triadbanking.com, or go see them in person these days. Get back in there. It's fun to see people again, and they've always been the neighborhood-friendly bank. It's one of the great things about Triad Bank. They have actual people in the building, and they're happy to see you. Friendly folks right there on Clayton Road in Frontenac. Jim Regna, the CEO, and his team wanting to help you, if you're a business owner, do more business. Make sure you talk to the folks at Triad Bank. And Appliance Discounters, where they know all about the cannots that the other companies will give you. You want to buy that appliance? And they say, sure, we'll put it on order. You'll get it in a couple of months. You don't want to wait. How about a couple of days? That's the beauty of Appliance Discounters having a huge warehouse in downtown St. Louis, so they always have plenty of inventory in stock, including the great GE products, General Electric. In fact, go on their website, theappliancediscounters.com, and just go into the search engine, type General Electric, and all of the available appliances will pop up. They want to make sure you're not getting the runaround. Get that appliance soon. That's what Appliance Discounters is all about. And as always, their savings are your savings. Theappliancediscounters.com. All right, thanks for checking us out. Let's listen now to my visit with Dave Peacock, former president at Anheuser-Busch and the current CEO at Schnucks.
All right, Dave, as we sit here now, we are maskless, and it feels weird. We survived the pandemic, it seems, as a country, but more specifically, Schnuck survived. How weird was that ride for you? Because there is no prepping for that, is there, in terms of your industry and what you do?
No, I mean, it was incredible. We had an 81% lift in sales in 1 week. So, and at the same time, we had over 2,000 people call off out of just fear. So, and our supply chain was a train wreck. So we had to kind of rebuild everything. I always say it was like rebuilding a plane while it's flying. It was just kind of crazy for about a month. And then things settled in, sort of. I mean, at a much higher level. The team was really creative, but it was 18-hour days minimum. I mean, it was crazy. We changed store hours. We changed how you check out. We changed everything, and the stores kind of had to and just didn't have a choice. So it's hard to remember what that was like. It was like our own little, you know, Normandy Beach, albeit, you know, not, by no means as dangerous, but it was incredible.
And were you having meetings where at that point you got to worry about your consumers? You always care about your employees, but at that point too, your employees are raising their hands, and you said, you know, some didn't even want to come to work. So you're just constantly battling keeping the consumers happy, keeping the employees safe. I mean, that had to be a real juggling act.
Yeah, and it's not an indictment, but you're getting, you know, don't wear masks. Wait, wear masks. And you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody's trying to get masks. And it was just we almost didn't even have meetings. It was just these calls. We'd quickly pull people together on the phone. It started when I was on spring break, because remember, you know, nobody kind of knew. I'm in Miami, and I spent the entire time on this balcony on the phone. I remember one day, 7 a.m., I had probably a 30-minute break, and I didn't get off till 9 p.m., flew, landed, and literally went to stores the minute I landed. I mean, it was just insane. Worked through the weekends. It was just trying to get decisions made, and we did make decisions, and we really, I think, if anything, we built confidence in our organization, because we empowered people, like, hey, we got to go. We can't fumble around and talk about things too much. This is, you know, if you know, I mean, get off the pot time if you're gonna get things done. It's about people's safety. So it was crazy.
Funny you say get off the pot, because I was going to ask you about toilet paper. How crazy was that? And were you calling other stores and saying, what do you got? I mean, I think one of the things I'll remember about the pandemic is going to the store and not finding toilet paper.
Yeah, the empty shelves. I mean, when I landed, I remember it was like jarring, because we walked down the, you know, aisle, and there's spots. I mean, we're just not used to out of stocks, and then paper was empty, and you're just, and they can't supply you because they couldn't keep up with production. And who would have thought that category was going to be? I'm like, it was very odd, because I'm like, it's fairly known as far as what your usage is going to be.
Because you're probably thinking meat, bottled water,
right? Canned food, right. Whatever. And bottled water got tight too, but it was that we had plenty of. But we were on the phone with vendors and trying to get information about, hey, when's Charmin coming in. It was just it was out of control. And then we pivoted and said, like, hey, we did a lot. I tell you, the O'Loughlins were great. I mean, they helped us on people, because, you know, as we thought about it, I'm like, well, wait a minute, they're gonna have a bunch of people that can't work because they have hotels. So we'll call
lodging, hospitality management, that group.
Yeah, exactly. They own hotels. So we pulled, I think in 1 day, we pulled 600 other people in to help fill in spots. And then I'm like, hey, do you have toilet paper? You know, well, single roll, we'll take it. You know, right. We'll take whatever we
That's
can
genius, because hotels busy. Yeah.
Right. They're just sitting there. They've got their inventory. Like, hey, let's go. We just need to get anything we can and get it in people's hands. And the food service companies that supplied restaurants were all of a sudden pivoting and selling us food service packaged items, because we knew, okay, restaurants are going to struggle, but then we're partnering with the restaurants on bringing their food in. And it was amazing to watch the whole system, meaning the entire food kind of ecosystem, come together.
You know, and as that hit, the pandemic, the Battle Hawks had just taken off, and I know we had talked to you, Schnucks was behind it, and the city was getting into it, and that LA game was going to have like 40,000. And, you know, was it all about the Battle Hawks? Maybe a little bit about sticking it to the NFL? I'm not sure entirely, but it was fun. And then that was a casualty. And it happened so quickly, too. I mean, I guess it could still be coming back with The Rock, but that was sort of very disappointing.
I went to that first game. I took my son, and we Schnucks did a lot around it. And it was so fun. And I do think it was more about, like, community pride. I mean, you could say sticking it to LA or the NFL, but it was more about, you know, hey, we are a football town. And people wanted to kind of flex that muscle. And it was not, and I'm like, hey, there's that. And then a week later, like the world's coming apart. It was unfortunate, but you do hope that comes back, because I think there's, I mean, for decent football, people will go out, they'll show up in this market. I mean, I know people that, I snuck into a high school football game last fall. I mean, I had the Lions, I was someone's parent, but just to get in and watch some football was, and I said, yeah, I got a son who got to go to I think he went to every Notre Dame game, which was lucky that the students were able to go to those and see those live, and they were able to play the entire season. I think they had one game that they had to either cancel or move. But, yeah, it's nice to see sports coming back.
And Schnucks has been kind of integrated with sports or sponsors a lot of sports, and I think it makes sense because sports is community, right? And you've talked about this since day one, joining Schnucks. It's kind of a hangout. It's not just, hey, I got to get some groceries. Like, you'll run up there. You might see your friend. You might get a coffee. And it's almost like the old days where you would kind of meet up at the grocery store.
Yeah, I think now it is. And it's we do more with college than we used to. So, you know, doing some things with the University of Missouri, talking to the University of Illinois. And then, like you said, we sponsor all the major teams here. And with you know, the Blues, we've got the little store in the stadium. We've got the similar at the Iceplex. We've done, I think we have three of those at Busch Stadium. And it's an important part of, you know, connecting with our community, and you know, brand awareness is not a problem for Schnucks, thank God, but connecting to things that people are passionate about in St. Louis is important. So we're doing player appearances in stores, and the teams through COVID, because they're like, hey, we can't have fans, but we need your sponsorship. So we stayed with them, but they've been really creative in finding ways. We've done cooking schools with, you know, players and their wives and stuff digitally where they're virtual, and just some really creative things that we've done. The teams have been great in working with us.
I've found myself less concerned with the Rams, like whether they win or lose, like kind of indifferent, you know. Where are you in terms of those emotions?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, people ask, you know, can you watch NFL football? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's watching Patrick Mahomes and what the Chiefs have done. We are, I mean, this almost like labels you. We are Tom Brady fans in our house and Patriots fans, which people can't believe, but I've got friends associated with ownership, and I know Jonathan Kraft pretty well.
And the Krafts were always pro St. Louis.
They were. They, you know, Robert Kraft will always say, I signed the contract to buy the team from James Bush Orthwine at Brian Cave's offices in St. Louis, Missouri, looking at the arch. So he feels this is a football town, and the roots of the Patriots actually come from St. Louis. But no, I still love the game, and even watching what Brady did in Tampa Bay is incredible. I mean, we followed that story the whole time, and it's you know, I don't root against the Rams. I don't root for the Rams. If they're good, I went to the Super Bowl. I took my son when the Patriots went and played them, and you know, I do think Aaron Donald is incredible. I mean, they've got. Yeah, but I don't care. Like you said, they're just another team in the NFL.
What about the lawsuit? Do they call on you? Have you been deposed, or will you be? Are you an interested observer? I had John Shaw on the podcast. I was surprised to hear he hasn't been asked any questions, because he knows a lot. I know he'd been out of it for a while. Are you watching this closely?
Yeah, I'll say that, yes, I am probably more than an interested observer, because of the lawsuit really being surrounding the more recent events than even when John was involved. Can't obviously talk about much, and don't know a lot about what's the detail is around, you know, the case and what have you. But am, you know, definitely a witness, if you will, to the process. So yeah, it'll be interesting. And I guess they moved it down further because of COVID. So I don't know if now it's spring of.
I think it's January or February of 22.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll have to see. And I know what everybody else knows as it relates to a lot of depositions were taken. And so I imagine in the fact gathering, just the question is how good is the case? And we'll kind of see what transpires from there.
Is it important for the city to win for maybe the optics, or is it the money? I mean, do you think I think the city wants to win, or the fans paying attention want to win symbolically, but also it could be money that could go to certain things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, depending on what a ruling is and the or settlement or whatever they do, the money is super meaningful for St. Louis and the region. You know, when you combine that with some of the federal money coming from the CARES Act, it could transform this region pretty dramatically. But and I also think there's it's precedent setting relative to, you know, NFL's process, and I focus more on the NFL than less on all the vitriol for Stan Kroenke, but you know, their process and their stated relocation process, did they follow it, and should communities for a business, if you will, that has antitrust exemption, be able to rely on their stated process? And I think that's kind of the bigger question that is more precedent setting. Now, I say that I don't think NFL teams are going to be moving around a lot. So this, you know, at the same time, if you're the NFL and you're like, well, okay, we may move a team around once every 20 years, so it shouldn't be, you know, such a huge weight on the league. But I do think it's about kind of truth and about adhering to your process and sort of the integrity of what you stand for as an organization.
It was interesting because John Shaw said he always believed that I'm paraphrasing, but that the guidelines were vague at best. And he reminded me the Rams sued the NFL over the relocation fee that they had to pay coming to, I think they lost in the courts, but there's sort of a history with St. Louis fighting them over the topic of relocate, even when it was with the Rams being here. So I think it's not a new topic for the league, is it?
No, it's hard, right? I mean, these are usually teams that have had public funding that have supported them in some respects. Then you've just got the fan aspect. But then you have the business realities of a team, and so you put all that together, it creates a lot of drama. I mean, I'm always amazed that there isn't either a deeper book or even a, you know, my gosh, seems like Netflix will buy any content, you know, some kind of movie or miniseries on sort of St. Louis's NFL history, going from the Chicago Cardinals moving here, then leaving, then St. Louis Rams moving here, and then leaving.
And almost getting the Stallions in the middle of it.
And the Stallions in the middle. I mean, just sort of this whole, like, it's amazing story. You know, and you know, we designed fully to construction drawings the stadium, and it wasn't built. I think it's the only time that maybe ever that the stadium was designed to that level of detail and not constructed. And yet the, you know, the drawings still kind of sit. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And it's, you know, gosh, you go back to when the team moved here in '95. Yeah, I mean, you're almost like a 30-year saga of what's gone on from when they decided to have a team move here to when the team's gone, and all the lawsuits and everything are behind it. So it's a full generation, if not two generations.
What's your level of pride or excitement about the MLS stadium going up and that movement with Carolyn Kindle Betts, your group? I would like to say move the ball down the field, and even though we didn't get the vote in the city to push it all the way over, I think this group has even said a lot of groundwork had been laid to kind of make it possible when the Taylors got involved. Give me your view on what's taken place so far.
No, I think it's great. I think to your point, and you know, both Carolyn and Andy and others have been very honest about, hey, your effort helped. And I think if anything, it helped people realize both and galvanize around this idea. And the public vote in the city, and people were frustrated, I understand, with the county, and it was difficult since the stadium was going to be located in the city. I wish we had more regional collaboration, but at the time it was Steve Stanger and wasn't, you know, interested in being involved. But we only lost the vote by, I don't know, a little over 1,000 votes, so it was really tight, and I think that surprised a lot of people, even the mayor at the time. And so I think it helped people realize, hey, there's something here. And then the Taylors were in a position, as they've been so many times, to kind of lean in financially to make something happen in the region. They've done it with the Arch and Soldiers Memorial and, you know, the Symphony, Forest Park. I mean, so many institutions to make this happen. It's going to be a game changer in that with NGA, which we all forget about. But when that middle corridor, I mean, the Schnucks, we've remodeled our downtown store, which was called Culinaria. We've renamed it to Schnucks so people know what it is. And we've remodeled our Lindle store. So we've spent a few million dollars getting those stores kind of dressed up, because we believe with all the work that's going to go on at the convention center, you know, I think 3 years from now, 5 years from now, people are going to be amazed at what Central Corridor and downtown St. Louis can look like and be. And then the economic benefit that should feed these other neighborhoods. I think it's this notion of leverage that strength of that entertainment district, if you will, to feed economically, not just jobs, but even just tax proceeds that help North and South St. Louis. So I think it's going to be great, and there's clearly fan support. You know, we're going to be selling, hopefully, MLS stuff in our stores, and you know, I think St. Louis is going to show up strong.
And you look at the demos of the MLS. These are younger people. These are the 25-year-olds on their laptops drinking coffee that may, in fact, live in a loft, that may be, you know, as opposed to a sports team where people will hop in their car and go. The hope is, I guess, that that demographic kind of makes that a hub more than just going to a game, maybe living in that area.
Yeah, I think that whole area becomes a real estate hotbed. And I think, too, that it's also it's one of your more diverse sports because the tickets are affordable, because the game is played by young people, and you know, whether that's suburban and it's the little kids are playing, or you know, people in the Forest Park, you go watch those pickup games all the time with 20-year-olds and people in their 20s. So I think that both the youth and diversity, and then just the energy that is brought by those kind of teams is going to be huge for our city, along with all the other development we were just talking about.
You're civic-minded, obviously, and there is an event Thursday. Malcolm Mitchell, we mentioned the Patriots. He wins the Super Bowl. Great story. Football career ends briefly after injuries, but won a Super Bowl and is now an author. And once kids – it's about literacy, right? And this is happening in the Florissant-Ferguson School District. It's happening on Thursday. It's virtual, unfortunately, but tell me a little bit about the movement, just in terms of literacy for these kids.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's, and I'm lucky. My wife works at a bookstore called the Novel Neighbor in Webster, a small independent bookstore. And it's owned by Holland Salzman. And they started a charity, the bookstore, called The Noble Neighbor. And they basically bring books and authors to underserved communities. So 61% of low-income households don't have a book in their house at all. And so that and everyone knows with reading can come opportunity. So Malcolm Mitchell's story is interesting in that he really struggled with reading. And he could write but not read when he was younger, and then just really worked and worked and got to the point where he could read, and now he's a voracious reader, and has you know, written the book, my favorite book in the whole wide world. And he's doing an event in partnership with the Noble Neighbor and Ferguson Florissant School Districts, and Julius B. Anthony, who's an amazing St. Louisan, doing these Believe Centers in schools. That's just all around books. His Believe Project group. It's 1 o'clock, I think, on Thursday at a school in Ferguson Florissant, and he'll come virtually. Now they've had him in person when they could do in person, and they donate a bunch of books to kids and just get them excited about reading. And they've been doing these events, you know, since, you know, for a couple of years now. And it's really good to see, and these kids just kind of light up when they get to talk to an author. And I've been able to witness a few of these virtually, and the questions are, I mean, and this is the school, I think it's third through fifth graders, they're really good. I mean, these kids kind of dial in and get excited about it, and to see how excited they are when they actually have a book that is theirs, because often they have to share books, is amazing. So we're really excited to have Malcolm Mitchell here and, you know, as part of this. And there'll be more of these events that unfold as this Noble Neighbor group and that charity continues to expand this literacy effort.
So I mentioned civic-minded when it came to sports. A lot of your efforts seem to be, though, civic-minded. So, I mean, you could be playing golf and give me an idea where this came from. Like, just sum it up for us. Why Dave Peacock, whether it's soccer or football or schnooks and community, like, where does that come from?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of it comes from your parents, right? I mean, both my parents in their own ways. My mom volunteered a ton when I was in school and was very involved in our schools. And then my dad was on the school board, which was a volunteer position. He coached inner city basketball down in the Jody Bailey League down at the Wohl Center downtown. And I just think growing up around that and seeing what service is meant to be, and then just getting more and more connected. I mean, one of the best things about Schnucks is you literally will be up in Hazelwood, you're down at our Butler Hill store, you're out in Edwardsville, Collinsville, you're up in Alton. You get to see our whole region, and you get to see just that diversity that's there, but also that both, you know, socioeconomic and kind of racial fragmentation we have. So I think seeing that firsthand more and getting connect with our teammates, you know, who live in those communities, really kind of it strikes a chord and says, boy, there's things we can be doing. And you also realize we're all very similar, and there's a lot of pride in St. Louis. So how do we untap that and find that as a way to bring us together versus sort of keeping us in our own corners.
No doubt about it, Dave, very civic-minded when he spearheaded that movement, trying to keep the NFL absorbed, you know, a good probably a year and a half of his life with meetings and trips, and he didn't get paid for any of that. And, yeah, he's been a well-compensated executive for a long time, but he doesn't have to do any of this stuff. But he really wanted it for St. Louis, wanted to fight till the finish if he could with the NFL and the Rams. He gave it his best, then tried to spearhead the soccer. Well, did spearhead the soccer. So appreciate guys like Dave who, let's be honest, I mean, he could go golfing every day and just hang out with his buddies, but he's trying to get stuff done, including things that are on a smaller scale, like the literacy event. So great to check in with Dave. Reminder, you can always find us on Spotify or iTunes, all of the segments, including the previous segments, whether it was Tony La Russa, Mike Shannon, Mark Lamping, a lot of great feedback on the Trey Wingo visit from earlier this week. You can find all of those on scoopswithdannymac.com. Kilcoin Conversation, as always, presented by Triad Bank, Marie Davila, Senior Living, and, of course, theappliancediscounters.com is the website for Appliance Discounters. I'm Martin Kilcoin. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.